Many people understand authenticity means I can just do whatever I want. You just do you. Right?
Right.
And that is a lie. I think that authenticity means that we all play a role. Still, but different roles. And in those roles, we are true to ourselves. But to be honest with you, if I'm at home, I play a specific role as a mother. And I'm very true to myself as a mother.
Right.
But I play a different role as a wife. And I play a different role as a speaker on stage. And in all those roles, I promise you, I'm truly authentic. But if I would try to talk with my husband the way I talk with my clients, we wouldn't made it through 23 years, I promise you.
You're listening to the ISF podcast for your organization's better cybersecurity. Your host, ISF CEO Steve Durbin, is an expert in leadership, business culture transformation, and cyber strategies for today's top enterprises. I'm producer Tavia Gilbert. In today's episode, Steve sits down with author and leadership expert Sylvie DiGiusto. Sylvie delineates five areas for everyone to consider in order to enhance their emotional intelligence. She and Steve discuss how self-awareness and authenticity relate to situational awareness and how improving in these areas can support career mobility.
Sylvie, it's lovely to see you. Thank you so much for taking time to join me on the podcast today.
Thank you very much for having me. It is so exciting for me to be here.
I wanted to talk to you about emotional intelligence. You know, increasingly in the security business, we're constantly, I think, grappling with how to get some of the messaging across, how to really deal not just with the technical aspects of the role, but also to, I think, convey some of the necessary behaviours that we see as being required in that particular space. And it's an area, I think, I can say that a lot of security professionals struggle with, because that's not the background. So you're an expert in that in that field. What sort of tips could you hand out for people listening to this who are thinking, yeah, you know, I really need to focus a little bit more on that?
Well, you know, what your clients or prospects are looking for is, in the first place, nothing that they can download.
Okay.
Nothing that you can send them with an update. Nothing that they can find in encrypted code or similar. What they are looking for is, in the first place, somebody whom they can trust. Trust with their data, trust with their business. And trust is a feeling, right? Trust is something that you can't put into lines, that you can't put into data, fact, and figures. Trust is something that happens with a human connection. And trust is something that happens in a human's subconscious mind. The subconscious mind of a human takes up 95% of your brain. And 95% of your brain is where emotions live, where feelings live, where your gut feelings live. And only 5% of our brain actually transmits data, facts, figures, information. That is where your contracts are, where your proposals are, where all the facts and figures are that you deliver your clients. And since that subconscious brain is so big, I'm sure you have experienced this in the past. Very often we give them data, facts, and figures, and they still trust their gut feelings and go into the different directions. So I always say, why don't you take this to your advantage, that behavior, and actually use the 95% of their brain and instantly imprint that feeling of trust in them and use it to advantage. And before they buy into your solution, into your technical solution, let them buy into you that the technical solution actually doesn't matter this much, because they instantly feel, this is the person I want to work with. This is the person whom I trust. This is the person whom I trust with my data, with my business, with my organization. And no matter what solution they are going to come up with, this is the person I want to work with.
But I think that's all well and good, isn't it? But you see, I'm just thinking about some of the security people that, that sit in the various departments. Now, they are exactly as you've just described. They are very logical thinkers. They work off data. They love to have a policy, a structure. And yet they're having to deal with and provide a level of service to people in other parts of an organization that may come from, say, a marketing environment mm-hmm. or a sales mm-hmm. environment or mm-hmm. operational environment. And the challenge is, how does somebody who is a very logical thinker, used to data, understand some of the core components necessary to build, to your point, trust mm-hmm, mm-hmm. with somebody who doesn't work that way? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What are some of the key things that mm-hmm. they can do? There must be some, you know, little things that they could sort of, I suppose, rationalize themselves and then implement mm-hmm, in some way. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Don't you think?
Yeah, don't just learn to read code. Mm-hmm. Also learn to read the room. Mm-hmm. When you walk into a room, learn situational awareness. I'm not a big fan of giving out old-fashioned tips. That's okay. also why I call it modern emotional intelligence. Okay. I struggle with old emotional intelligence tips where they said, you build trust by always having eye contact.
Right.
You build trust by always smiling. Mm-hmm. In some cultures, eye contact has a very different meaning than in others. In some situations, smiling is not as appropriate than in others. Emotional intelligence 10 years ago totally ignores the fact that we now have very often digital interactions.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And not in-person interactions anymore. So I don't have those simple cookie-cutter tips anymore that might have been appropriate years or decades ago. I mm-hmm. don't think that they apply nowadays anymore. Nowadays, it depends.
Okay.
My only tip that I have for you is it depends.
It depends.
It depends, as sad as it is. Because nowadays, what is always important is situational awareness. Mm-hmm. One client might react different to you than another. One situation might be different than the other. One room might be different than the other. One marketing colleague mm-hmm. might react different than the other. As much as you have to have learned to read one code that reads different than another code, mm-hmm. I'm not a programmer, so I might say mm-hmm. something that is not correct right now from a mm-hmm. technical perspective. One room is different than the other room. Mm-hmm. You have to learn to read the moment, and that is modern emotional intelligence, and then adjust your behavior and make more intentional choices. I think one of the biggest challenges that we have nowadays, also driven by technology, because we are constantly distracted mm-hmm. by technology, is that we run on autopilot mm-hmm. most of the day. Most of the day, we are so in our habits, in our patterns, that we do things, say things, that we are even not aware of them anymore, and they have a macro impact on our relationships. And we have to step back and sometimes turn that autopilot off, read the room, and be more intentional with the tools that we already have. And I will have the pleasure to present to your group about 5 tools that I use, the ABCDE framework, to better navigate those rooms, either they are virtual or in the real world, to apply the tools that are already in us to be more intentional about those choices.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about this, because obviously mm-hmm. our listeners won't have had the benefit of having sat through your session that you're referring to. So what are those 5 components?
Well, first of all, those listeners who don't have the benefit to being in that session shouldn't miss out next year to be in that session, because I have experienced that conference and they are truly missing out. So don't make that same mistake next year. And second, those 5 tools, I call them very simple, the ABCDE. Your A stands for your appearance, the way you look. Mm-hmm. The B for your behavior, the way you act. The C for your communication, what you say and how you say it. The D for your digital footprint that you leave behind consciously or unconsciously. Mm-hmm. And the E for your environment. Let us quickly dive into each. Mm. A for your appearance. Superficial topic. Usually people roll their eyes, right? And they go instantly back to old-fashioned advice that we gave years ago. You know, you have to wear a suit at work, or you are a specific shape, or those are the rules. It's not about that. But humans are visual creatures. We mm-hmm. just like to look. We look at somebody in our department and we think we know something about that person, right? And 85% of information in our brain gets transmitted visually. Mm-hmm. But that is also true if we look at somebody online. That's right. Also true when we look at somebody's website. Mm-hmm. That's also true if we just see somebody walking by on the street. We mm-hmm. are visual human beings. And our brain is actually quite lazy. That's why it very often takes a shortcut through our eyes.
Okay.
And if we are not intentional about the choices we present ourselves visually, people very instantly create an opinion about us. The B is our behavior, how we interact with others. Mm-hmm. Most often we run on autopilot and we are not aware about what huge impact our attitude has. Mm-hmm. And our attitude often speaks louder than our words. Mm-hmm. It speaks often before we open our mouth.
Right.
Do we have charisma? Mm-hmm. Do you walk into a room and people notice you that you are in the room without even saying something? Mm-hmm. How about your ethics, your morals, especially in an industry like yours, where mm-hmm. there are, you know, not just the rules and regulations that are written down, also the ethics and morals when nobody is watching you,
right.
when you're beyond what's written down on paper. How about your diplomacy, your courtesy, and then how about your communication skills? And communication starts actually not with speaking. The most important part is your listening skills. Mm-hmm. How good of a listener are you when right. your prospects talk with you about their needs, about their worries, about their fears, and how do you respond? Or your voice. Your voice is a very powerful tool. It's like an instrument that you play every single day, and most of us just play that instrument and never actually learn how to play it. We mm-hmm. just play it. Do you have an accent
yep.
like you and I have one?
Yep.
Or at least you have a dialect. What about your word choices?
Mm-hmm.
And now the very interesting part for me, your D for your digital footprint. Now you are the experts. I'm praying here to the goddesses and goddess of the internet and data security. But, you know, most people underestimate the unconscious footprint that we all leave behind, not the intentional one. Mm-hmm. I don't have to tell you about Facebook and, you know, all the intentional footprints that we leave behind. But mm-hmm. how about the time that we spend online?
Right.
How often people post?
Mm-hmm.
Or how long does it take them to respond? Or how about the client that you just lost right now
mm-hmm.
because somebody forwarded an email that wasn't even meant for them and it got forwarded and forwarded and forwarded to a person it wasn't even meant for.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of things happening that we are often not aware of. Virtual meetings. What do I see in the background? What about chats and forums? And then your environment. Who are the people you hang out with? What do they say about you and your values and your beliefs and vice versa? And the non-living things you surround yourself with, your car,
mm-hmm.
your house, your hobbies, where you go on vacation. And like it or not, people take all of that and much more into consideration when they create an opinion about you and vice versa. And they imprint that opinion about you in their brains, in those 95% of their brains, and instantly decide if they can trust you or not, if you are professional or not, if you are successful or not, if you are knowledgeable or not, if you are reliable or not, whatever they are unconsciously looking for. And then, unfortunately, our brains are wired in a way that they are always looking for proof
mm-hmm.
because we want to be right.
Okay.
Humans don't like to be wrong. We just want to be right.
Yeah.
And it is your choice only, if you allow that or if you consciously and intentionally make sure that that first imprint is based on your choice and in your control, because if you don't control it, somebody else will.
Mm. So I'm just thinking, you know, listening to what you're saying there, I'm imagining there are some people listening to this who are thinking, yeah, I hadn't imagined that. My digital footprint, you know, okay, we probably look at a very small part of what you've just, mm-hmm. what you've just described. The appearance component, the use of vocabulary, dialects, that, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So if somebody listening to this has sort of gone through that and think, oh, okay, I probably need to take a bit of an audit of myself here. Mm-hmm. That could be the reason why I'm not actually achieving some of the goals that I've mm-hmm. I've set with certain people. How do they do that? How do they actually stand back and say, you know, this is working, this isn't working? Is there a way that they can do that, or mm-hmm. do they have to rely on somebody else to help them with that?
It's a combination of many things. First, I want you to define one word, Steve, one word that you want to be known for. What is the one word you would like to imprint on everybody's mind when they think of you, Steve?
I think in a work environment, I would probably say professional.
Professional, okay. Now I want you to look at your A, B, C, D, E. If that is really honest look, mm-hmm. everything in your appearance, in your behavior, communication, digital footprint, environment, if that is the word that imprints professional, or if you already have to change something. But the point is that your word is always the most important one. You shouldn't try to be somebody else.
Right?
Your word is the core word. If you try to be somebody else or imprint a word that somebody else has put onto you, you appear inauthentic. Mm. You are trying to be somebody else, and we can feel that.
Mm. You know, it's also exhausting, right?
It's exhausting too, exactly. But then you need to double check to truly be successful. Is that the word that your clients expect? Mm-hmm. And is that the word that your company, your employer expects? Mm-hmm. Because professional is a great word, Steve. But for example, if you would be in a creative marketing agency, mm-hmm. is that really what clients want?
No, probably not.
Probably not. I mean, they want you to be professional.
Exactly.
But is it the first word that comes yep. to their mind? Are they really looking, when they hire a creative designer, mm. the first trait they are looking for? So let's just imagine they are looking probably for innovation.
Yep.
Then I would send you back and say, okay, Steve, how would somebody appear, behave, communicate who is professional and innovative? Mm-hmm. And then we would adjust it a little bit, mm-hmm. right? Then we would just turn a few buttons more towards innovative so that you are still true to yourself, mm-hmm. but in a little bit more innovative way.
Okay.
And then you represent a brand, mm-hmm. your company's brand. We would then talk to your CEO mm-hmm. and say, your brand, let's call it XYZ. Mm-hmm. What is the first word that should pop up in somebody's mind on the market when they think of your brand? Mm. And that could be a third word. Mm-hmm. And why is that relevant for you, Steve? Because he sends you a check every single month, and we want your company to be successful, right? And so it's a combination of those three and possibly more words depending on how many stakeholders are involved. Mm-hmm. But I always start with your own word because you want to be true to yourself, mm-hmm. but you cannot ignore that there are others involved as well.
Mm-hmm. So authenticity is a key component in that, I think, is what you're saying.
Yes and no. Authenticity is key. And authenticity, as most people understand it, is a lie.
Tell me more about that.
Because many people understand authenticity means I can just do whatever I want. You just do you. Right?
Right.
And that is a lie. I think that authenticity means that we all play a role. Mm-hmm. Still, but different roles. And in those roles, we are true to ourselves. But to be honest to you, if I'm at home, I play a specific role as a mother. Mm-hmm. And I'm very true to myself as a mother.
Right.
But I play a different role as a wife. Mm-hmm. And I play a different role as a speaker on stage. And I play a different role as a business owner, mm-hmm. a tough business owner when I have to negotiate contracts. And I play a different role as a volunteer. Mm-hmm. And in all those roles, I promise you, I'm truly authentic. But if I would try to talk with my husband the way I talk with my clients, we wouldn't made it through 23 years, I promise you. Or if I would treat my clients like I treat my children, or right. if I, you know, look at home like I would on stage and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So, yes, we are all authentic in those roles, but I think we have to accept that you just do you, no matter the circumstances, which brings us back to situational awareness. Mm-hmm. I think it's a lie that this is possible.
Right. You know, you've mentioned situational awareness on a number of occasions mm-hmm. now. How can people identify, perhaps, that, let's say, some of the reasons why they're not getting the response or the reaction that they're expecting mm-hmm. might be down to the fact that they've read the room incorrectly, mm-hmm. that they aren't as aware situationally as they might be?
Well, let's look at it on a hierarchy in an organization,
okay.
right? Because most of us want to get ahead. Mm-hmm. And if you don't get ahead, there might be a reason for this. And one of the reasons might be that you are not as visible in that organization you are as you would like to be. Mm-hmm. And I always say there are four visibility levels. The first visibility level is you are invisible. You go to work every single day. You go into those rooms. You just attend meetings. But nobody really knows what you are doing exactly. You're just attending work, somebody. If conversations come up about you, it could be that Steve, the CEO, says, oh, who is Peter? Mm-hmm. What? Who are you talking about? Who is Peter?
Right.
So Peter really doesn't have a chance to get ahead in Steve's company. Mm-hmm. Now, you can make the choice consciously to be in that level, to not read that room, to not want to go ahead, and that is just fine mm-hmm. if that's your choice.
Yep.
If that's not your choice, then you are in trouble. Because then you need to get to visibility level number two. At least you need to get known. Mm-hmm. So that the next time Steve is in that room, Steve at least knows, oh, yeah, that's Peter. He's in our data security department responsible right. for XYZ. But that's not enough to be truly successful in an organization because you want to be known for something truly unique. Mm-hmm. You want to be in that room so that Steve can say, oh, yeah, that is Peter. He works in our data security department in the following role. And do you know what he is exceptional at? Because he is known for something so unique that Steve, and Peter himself, by the way, too, mm-hmm. knows that is his superpower. And visibility level number four in an organization is Peter isn't even in the room. Steve sits in a meeting with other CEOs or at a board meeting yeah. or at a very important meeting and an opportunity comes up and they're looking for somebody to hire for this opportunity. And out of a sudden, Steve says, do you know who would be excellent for this opportunity? I think Peter, mm-hmm. because Peter has become referable.
Right.
Okay. Right. Peter has become referable because he's so unique that people talk about Peter even if he isn't in this room.
I think a lot of people listening to that would be able to relate, I think, to what you're saying. And I think that, again, some of the challenge, though, is them understanding how to move through those levels. Mm-hmm. Because, again, it's something that can be... You can learn through watching. Yeah. I mean, certainly if I think about my career, that's how I did it. I actually mm-hmm, watched mm-hmm. other people, you know, saw what I perceived good to be like and mm-hmm. not so good and hopefully did the good stuff more than I did the not so good stuff, yeah. right? But we work in an environment today where a lot of it is done remotely. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so, you know, one of the concerns I have certainly with that remote working, which I think is very valuable and has a role, is that some people entering the workplace now are not getting the benefit of that experience. And so mm-hmm. how do we overcome or how do we help people mm-hmm. who are born into the world of digital work mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. gather some of those interpersonal skills, I guess?
Yes, yes, yes. Huge challenge. Huge challenge. First of all, take every opportunity that is out there for an in-person gathering. Mm-hmm. I have so many of my clients struggling with getting people back for events, back into the office, And I am on the side of my clients, feeling bad for my clients that they have to struggle to get people back into the office, because I feel their pain that people are missing out on those personal interactions. So if you are on the other side and your employer offers you to come back, please, please come back, because screen to screen will never give you the same opportunities that you have like in a room. Mm-hmm. From an connection point of view, but also from your personal growth point of view and from your career point of view. Your career path is going to be slower to achieve than if you are in the room with the right people right now. This might not be in 20, 30, 40, 50 years when we are all used to it, but right now we are still in an area where you should be in that room to climb up those visibility levels. And from a personal point of view, even if digital back then hasn't been such a topic, I can tell you I have been in that situation too. Mm-hmm. And how I learned it is just through the pain of experience. I was in a huge corporate organization, mm-hmm. and I was, now looking back, I would describe myself as a busy bee.
Right.
I was the chief of staff for a CEO, and everybody in that organization knew whatever has to be done can land on my desk. Mm-hmm. The CEO knew it, all his other staff members knew it, everybody else knew it in this organization. Everything that has to be taken care of could land on my desk, and they knew it could be taken care of. And I was working hard. I was the first one in the office, and I was the last one to leave. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, I'm doing such a fantastic job. And I had to come to realize that I'm hurting my career. Mm-hmm. Hard work almost doesn't bring you forward in an organization. Because first of all, why should the CEO promote me?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Somewhere else.
Yeah, very true.
I was his best worker. And second, nobody knew what I was really good at, because I was good at somehow everything.
Right.
I was just good at taking care of everything and everybody. And I was just lucky to then have found a mentor who made me aware of what I thought is my biggest superpower is actually my biggest struggle. And the moment I started saying no to things and not doing them anymore and really focusing on doing the things that I thought are important to my career and important to my growth, all of a sudden, the opportunities that walked by in the past came closer to me until the right came. And then there was no doubt that I was the right person for that job and I got promoted.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good example, Sylvie, because one of the things that I've discovered, I think, is that we need to be providing so much more opportunity to people, whether that be through mentoring, whether it be through coaching, whether it be through levels of advice, whether it be through giving them the opportunity to effectively look in the career mirror, mm-hmm. and understand that actually there is a tremendous amount of opportunity that sits out there. You just really need to understand for yourself what the right path might look like. And then a lot of the other things that you've just been talking about, mm-hmm. your ABCDE and the new sort of frameworks that you've outlined, really can be used to the best advantage in that space. So it's been absolutely fantastic talking to you, shining some of these, you know, lights and on these areas. I'm sure that our listeners have been intrigued and hopefully truly engaged with what you've been saying. And thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you very much for having me.
Special thanks to this week's guest, Sylvie DiGiusto. In the meantime, if you enjoyed today's episode, please take a moment to rate and review the podcast, and we'd be pleased if you'd consider sharing the episode. To become a member, get in touch with Steve directly at steve.durbin@securityforum.org or on LinkedIn. Check out all our media and resources. All of it is there to support you at securityforum.org. Don't miss our other podcast, Dear InfoSec, sharing conversations with members about the real-world applications of ISF research. The ISF podcast is produced by Talkbox Productions and Tavia Gilbert. Thanks for listening.